Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And just like that, we're back. Right back in your eardrums. Every day, top of the hour, that's how we do it. We disappear for like 1 minute.
Yeah.
You can go other places and you can listen to commercials all morning long, or you can hang out here, listen to us, shoot the you-know-what, listen to some ferocious hot takes, get yourself all worked up, disappear for a minute, and then boom, right back in action, Lo.
Yo, I'm always praising Fresno State. So I gotta dump on this one time, Joe.
Unlike Eric Dickerson, yes, you are always praising Fresno State.
There's a guy that's on your team that I just can't handle anymore, and he's ferocious. Ryan Matthews, can he ever stay healthy, Joe? I mean, this is a guy that you think is going to play better than what he is, a guy that can run, he's tough, he's physical, he just can't stay healthy.
You're telling me right now that you're turning on Ryan Matthews?
I'm turning.
I've never heard you speak like that about
him. Wow. Fresberg?
And he's
Fresno violence?
He could be talented, and he's always hurt, bro. Philadelphia needs this kid.
What they need to do is get the ball into the hands of Darren Sproles more often. Last night, you throw a little swing to him, boom, gone for 40 yards. Oops, offensive pass interference blocking downfield. What are you doing? That's a ferocious hot take. Especially when you did it the week before. Look, no one expects a wide receiver to ever make a play in the blocking game. No one ever expects it. Just kind of get in front of the guy. All you have to do is occupy space. You just need to occupy some space, and Sproles will make it happen. Yet, Doriel Green Beckham, we wonder why you were traded. We wonder why Missouri said, thanks but no thanks, it's time you left the program.
He was ferocious.
Give me the bacon.
Give him. That was a hot take. Thank you.
Sorry.
Joe was on it right now. That was a hot take, kid. You're losing it, coach.
You know, sometimes the bacon's hard to find. You got other things queued up. You know, maybe I had the eggs ready or the ham. You know?
NFL insider Michael Silver's coming up in just a moment. But like we do every day, here comes your update.
And the Warriors, Joe, they gut one out over Atlanta, 105-100. Kevin Durant and Steph each with 25. Klay Thompson had 20. But the story, Draymond Green and his quadruple single?
Well, the world says we traded our defense away when we got KD. I disagree. So I think our defense actually has the upside to be better. The length and everything that we have, the speed, the athleticism. So that pissed me off more than anything. That it's kind of like, yeah, their defense is going to suck now.
4.7 assists, 3 rebounds, but 4 big blocks, Joe.
Draymond Green was huge. And for a team that's made it all about offense through just under 20 games this season, leading the NBA in scoring with over 118 points per game, last night it was refreshing to see the Warriors change it up and win the game with a little bit of D on the other end of the floor. Do not discount what Andre Iguodala did last night. Plus 18, the Warriors over the Hawks when Iguodala was on the court for those 28 minutes. He was a big spark off the bench, Dibs.
Warriors hosting Houston, but not until Thursday. Story number two, Monday Night Football goes to the Dibber, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers getting it done. 313 yards, a couple of touchdowns. They also got a rushing touchdown.
They do not have a rushing touchdown by a running back this year, and that finally changes. Aaron Rutkowski takes it in. All three of their rushing touchdowns have been by Aaron Rodgers. Finally, a running back runs one into the end zone for Green Bay.
Why don't they get it right, Joe? Why don't they get it right, Dibs, and say it was a fullback who ran it in the end zone? About time they gave the fullback the ball.
Did you see the Philadelphia safety who jumped in the air to try to hurdle the fullback so he didn't have to make a tackle? The guy's coming right at him. Rather than lower the shoulder and try to make a play, McLeod tries to go up over the top of him. You don't play offense, son. This ain't the high hurdle, son. Get your head in there and make a play.
Packers and Eagles both at 5-6. Story number three, Sharks and Arizona Coyotes tonight at the SAP Center. The update brought to you by Nissan. Get to Nissan's Go Rogue year-end event today for special Black Friday savings on the new 2017 Rogue. Take on any Galaxy. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today. Mike Silver joins us next. I'm Dan Dibley. on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs.
Thanks, Joe.
Michael Silver in just a moment. NFL bold statements at 8:15 in about 10 minutes. Scott Baer swings by to talk Raiders at 8:30. And at 8:45, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving away tickets to the Raiders-Bills game this Sunday when the ticket window opens. To the phones, one of the best in the business, NFL insider for the NFL Network, Michael Silver, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Michael. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was awesome, and I just got some tackling techniques listening to you guys on the lead in. That's awesome. Now I know how to defend a goal line play.
I've never seen a safety try to jump over the ball carrier when his only job was to try to bring the guy down. So is the state of Eagle football.
Dude, if that was me back there, I would turn around and run out of the end zone.
Especially if it's low Neil bearing down on you.
You've been on the sidelines for an NFL game. Dude, come on. Those people are – that's not for the meek. Crazy people like Lowe belong down there, and not even Lowe now. Oh, my Lord.
You're right.
Michael Silver, NFL Insider, NFL Network, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We spoke with Eric Dickerson this morning at 7 o'clock about what's going on down in Los Angeles. He's banned from the sideline because Fisher and the team really don't like what he's been saying about them on his radio show in Los Angeles. This guy should be ambassador number one for the Rams back in Los Angeles, but instead they're turning him into public enemy number one. How bad a look is this for the Rams?
Are they turning him into public enemy number one? You know, I've heard it the other way, too, that he was not told he was banned. But I'm surprised that Eric is reacting so strongly, first of all, to whatever conversation he may or may not have had with Jeff Fisher, who has obviously got bigger things to deal with. So, yeah, if you're looking at it like, wow, the Rams are banning Eric Dickerson, shouldn't they be concerned with bigger things? Yes, they should. On the other hand, I'm concerned with bigger things, and they've got a game coming up in New England. Jeff Fisher, a lot of people think he's coaching for his job, and Jared Goff looked pretty promising in start number two. So I don't know. If I see Eric, I'll talk to him about it, but not my biggest concern right now.
Yeah, I understand that. What do you think? Where there's smoke, there's fire? Because I'm under the impression that he said that the players don't want him there. I don't know. Do you think it's going to come out that the players are going to, you know, they're going to ask, the media is going to ask the players, is Eric Dickerson a distraction? Do you think the players are going to be more Fisher or Eric in particular question is going to be asked now to the players?
I think they're going to roll their eyes and probably try to get out of the question.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like Eric Dickerson's an amazing player. It's not like he's been around a ton when they were in St. Louis. He didn't live in the city. This exact thing would happen with a lot of other coaches and players who were crushing the coach during a downtime, and we probably wouldn't hear about it. I'm just surprised that Eric is so public about it, but whatever.
If the organization decided to make a move and part ways with Jeff Fisher after this season, do you think there's any chance whatsoever that John Gruden could be in the mix for the job? The reason I bring that up, very similar circumstance to when he took over in Tampa. Great defense already in place, just needs to come in and figure out how to improve the offensive side of the football. Do you think both sides of the equation would get together and have some conversations about that job?
I think if the L.A. job opens, there are going to be a lot of big names, maybe some of whom are current NFL coaches in other situations who would be on your wish list because it is L.A. And you mentioned they have the quarterback and they've got some other pieces in place. So, you know, John Gruden remains a big name, although the further you get out from it, you start getting into Bill Cowher's zone where, A, you like your current job and, B, people aren't thinking of you in that regard as much. But, you know, the biggest name is in Ann Arbor, obviously, Jim Harbaugh. I don't know that he would leave his alma mater after 2 years, but I think people will ask and basically already have asked even before now. And, you know, there's a name near us, David Shaw, who, you know, they may not be having their absolute best season during this run, but they're still really, really good. And in the NFL, where he has many ties, he is considered a rock star. So whether it's L.A. or San Francisco, where you can make that pitch telling him you don't even have to move, I think people are going to come for David Shaw again, and we'll see if this is the year that he decides to listen more judiciously.
Mike, in your opinion, why do you think the perception of the Raiders, a team that isn't as good as everyone thinks they are, or you know, because they had close games, why is that the perception? Is it not reality, or do you think the Raiders are good enough to, you know, to really say that this is a Super Bowl contending team, or is it the latter part of that because of the way that they've been winning games that people aren't giving them the credit that I think they deserve?
See, I see it totally the other way. I'm like, wow, they really haven't looked like the team that I think they can be, and they're 9-2. So to me, that's a total positive. And, you know, you love to see the grit. You love to see them, you know, win the close games and fight back late. To me, it's all good because they still have an absolute opportunity in the next few weeks to develop into a much more fearsome team. And in the meantime, they're off to an incredible start. And look, you know, think of the emotions that Raider fans, you know, went through this last one. You know, looking good against Carolina, they're grooving. Derek Carr is out, and the finger, and whoa, is he going to be out? Is this going to be weeks? Is our season collapsing? And then the kid puts on a glove and comes back in and does awesome things. The only thing I might have questioned was the kneel down shotgun thing. I'm probably, if it's me, I'm putting Matt McGloin in for the kneel down snaps. But you know, what a gutsy kid and gutsy leader. And obviously that was disaster averted as far as we know.
Mike Silver from NFL Network joining us on 95.7 The Game. You've got Buffalo coming in this Sunday to take on the Raiders. Tyrod Taylor in his development, is he the biggest threat to this Raiders defense that's had some trouble containing running backs and running quarterbacks?
Well, he's always a threat at any given moment because he does have a real good sense of when to take off, and he's obviously really fast. He throws a great deep ball. He is not, on the short and intermediate stuff, you know, really hit the point where you'd want your franchise quarterback to be. So he does present some challenges. LeSean McCoy, obviously we saw him last week do what he can do and take that long one to the house, and now Sammy Watkins is back, so they're better. But the thing the Bills do best and want to do is road grade. They want to get out behind Richie Incognito and those other offensive linemen and just hammer you. And you know, they really are good up front on both sides of the ball. So I think early in the season they were keeping it pretty exotic. They fired offensive coordinator Greg Roman, decided to simplify, and Rex Ryan simultaneously kind of got out of it a little bit on defense and let defensive coordinator Dennis Thurman make the calls, and they've simplified on defense, and they've got a lot of really, really good players, especially in the trenches. So I don't think it's ever easy playing them. On the other hand, the Raiders are going to present a lot of problems for them too.
Michael, take us through the upcoming Alden Smith timeline. When can we expect a decision from Roger Goodell? What do you think the decision is going to be? And then how long is it going to take to get Alden up to speed and make him a serious part of this Raider defense?
You know, I do not know how Commissioner Goodell approaches these things. They're supposed to be confidential. You know, theoretically, you can do reporting and find out, but really it's, you know, it has more to do with his the information he gathers and the perception he has about Alden, you know, handling things that don't involve football. So to me, you know, that's bigger. And I hope that those things are in place. I do not know the timing. I know that in the past there were frustrations in these situations from other teams who thought that the league was taking its time. I do think if he comes back because of the position he played, you can get some productivity out of him pretty much immediately, assuming he's in football shape, you know, because you can just let those guys hunt sometimes. So it's not, there's some positions where it might take a little longer, but I think, you know, a healthy, unsuspended Alden Smith could make an immediate impact on third downs.
Michael, when you go across the bay and look at the San Francisco 49ers, last couple of weeks you've seen Colin Kaepernick's development, and see this guy starting to pretty much carry this team on his back. If Colin Kaepernick is, will this guy be on the roster next year? And if not, do you see who would be a quarterback that's better than him in your opinion right now for this type of offense?
Well, first question, who's the GM? If it's Trembolki, I would say they'd be more inclined to try to find another quarterback. Just that's my opinion based on his opinions of Colin Kaepernick over the last couple of years. If it's not, then obviously that's, you know, the new GM is going to have a strong say. Who is the coach? If the coach is Chip Kelly, how is he feeling about Cap at this point? If it's a different coach, then obviously you want to listen to what he has to say. You know, if you're drafting two or one, because I do think the Browns are going to eventually win a game, and we'll see where they end up drafting. But, you know, how are you feeling about this class of quarterbacks? A couple months ago, I was hearing that this was a great class of quarterbacks. I talked to a really respected personnel guy yesterday, and he told me it's a horrible class for quarterbacks. So you know how these things vacillate. But my suspicion is that as you get into it, you start finding reasons to love these guys more than reasons not to love them. So you start to think about DeShone Kizer at Notre Dame, Watson down at Clemson, and some of the other people who, you know, may have a chance to be regarded in that spot. And my suspicion is the 49ers will be mighty tempted to take one of those.
Michael Silver, NFL Network, joining Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. You were at the Sunday night game between the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs. What did you think about Gary Kubiak's decision-making late in that game?
Well, I understand why you take the field goal in altitude with a kicker who, is able to kick it a pretty long way and not just punt it away and say, we're going to play for the tie. Now, you could have gone for it, I guess. It was a pretty long fourth down. You maybe could have managed the clock a little differently. But it was just a weird game because, at halftime, it just kind of looked blah. The Chiefs had made, with a safety and a kick return, had taken the lead but had just 49 yards. And, you did not see Simeon looking like a frontline quarterback. I mean, all of a sudden, boom. And by the end, both offenses were moving the ball down the field. So it was a strange overtime. I'm sure the Broncos wish they had gotten a touchdown on that first possession. The Chiefs looked like they had a chance to score a touchdown and then settled for the field goal. And then the Chiefs, to their credit, capitalized at the end. But, you know, once again, I watched the Chiefs game and just shook my head and said, how do they do it? They don't really look very potent on offense. The defense is good and makes plays, but they don't swallow you up all the time. And, Jamal Charles is their one, like, superstar. He's out. How does this team keep winning and winning? And yet they've won 19 of their last 23. I know Raider fans know because of what they were able to do in Oakland. They are a game out. They have the Raiders and Broncos in Kansas City down the stretch. So watch out. This is a team that could, much like last year, be kind of like a wild card team and maybe win a playoff game and get overwhelmed, or they could do a whole lot more. And, meanwhile, the Broncos are going to have to fight for it too. So who knew that we were talking about the best division in football? But that's what the AFC West is at this point.
He's one of the best in the business. Michael Silver from the NFL Network with Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Michael, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me, you guys.
Let me tell you something about the Chiefs. How do they keep doing it? Simple. They're quicksand. Quicksand doesn't come to you. You go to it. The only reason you have a problem with quicksand is because you fall into it, because you make the mistake. That's what Kansas City is. They lie in the cut, and they wait for you to screw it up. Quicksand works great in the regular season because a lot of teams aren't paying attention. A lot of teams make dumb mistakes. A lot of teams fall into it, and then they start moving around, and they can't get out. Playoffs, however, no one's falling into quicksand. That's why they can never advance deep into the postseason. Quicksand can't come to you. You got to go to it. Quicksand is not something the New England Patriots are going to fall into. It's that time, we promised, which, by the way, 8:45, mark it down. We're giving away Raider tickets, and we got Sean Livingston joining us at 9:30. But now, here comes some bold statements.
I like bold things. Do you like bold things?
Bold flavors.
I call that bold talk.
That is too bold.
New enzyme bold. Strips away the big stain, dullness, to let the brightness shine through.
Sailor Bold.
Bold flavor!
It's time for NFL Bold Statements.
with Joe Low and Dibs.
The bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Everybody likes bold things.
Still not sure what to think about all that. There's a lot going on there. Bear with me here. I spilled coffee all over these specific notes this morning, so let's see if I can get this out in a proper fashion. Bold statement number one.
Number one.
The San Francisco 49ers, Dibs, will beat the Chicago Bears on Sunday.
That's an affirmative there, Joe, and it's only to keep you on the string for another week with your precious little over-under wager that may or may not have been made prior to the season. The 49ers are not playing badly. The quarterback is trending in the right direction. And let's be fair about the Chicago team. They are downright ferocious. Niners end the losing streak in Chicago, Joe.
Lo, the Bears are a 2.5-point favorite. Do you think the Bears edge this one out at home, or are the Niners going to get that second win on the board?
Flip a coin, because this one's too close to call. Why the weather? You never know about that weather, Dibs. Can these California kids handle that cold weather? That ball travels a little different, a little freezing. But yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say the Niners get this win. Yes.
Keep following me.
Both of you feel the Niners going to get a win this weekend. San Francisco, rejoice. Lo Neal and Dan Dibley, the 10-game losing streak is coming to a conclusion.
Follow me, Tone.
Number two.
Bold statement. The Denver Broncos, despite a record of 7-4, will not make the playoffs, Lo Neal.
Can't get in. They're playing good ball. They don't have the quarterback. Offensive line. Their defense, not their offense, ain't running the ball as well as they need to be. No, they missed the playoffs. The Denver Broncos is the defending Super Bowl champs. They're out, Dibs. They don't make it.
Dibs, is he right?
No, he's crazy. He's just been in the crazy sauce again.
Crazy.
Denver goes to Jacksonville. That's a win. They go to Tennessee. That's a win. Tommy B comes to town. And that's a win, too. They're beating New England as well. Maybe they lose that game. Denver goes to the playoffs for sure.
Number three.
Well, they took down the Philadelphia Eagles last night on Monday Night Football, and now the Green Bay Packers are 5-6. The Lions are on top of the NFC North at 7-4. The Vikings are second at 6-5. The Packers are third at 5-6. Bold statement number three. The Green Bay Packers, Lo Neal, will win the NFC North.
That is a very, very bold statement, Joe, but I'll tell you right now, the Green Bay Packers, they played a hell of a ball game last night, led by Devontae Adams and from Fresno State. But no, Joe, this team will not make it to the playoffs.
Dibs.
They make the playoffs, but they don't win the division. I still think they'll get over the hump and get the number six seed ahead of Washington, but I think Detroit will hold them off in the division.
Number four.
Bold statement number four. The Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year awards will be given to two individuals who played at the same college last year, Dibs.
Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Dak Prescott did not go to Ohio State, and Joey Bosa, many think, is the front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I'm going to say no. Two different guys from two different schools.
Mo, how do you see it?
Absolutely. Two guys, two same school. They're getting it. Joey Bosa, what he's been able to do in defense for the San Diego Chargers. Get after the quarterback on consistency. Good take tackles. He's good. And then that Zeke Elliott kid for the Dallas Cowboys. This guy's running the ball, leading the league in rushing. Absolutely those two players in Rookie of the Year, offense and defense.
Number five.
Bold statement number five. Who wants to start the final one?
Let him start.
We'll start with Lo Neal, who's riding a ferocious hot take wave of excitement right now. Bold statement number five. If Jeff Fisher is fired, the Los Angeles Rams and John Gruden will have serious conversations about bringing Gruden aboard as the next head coach of the team.
I'll tell you, Joe, they will have serious conversations. At least one side will, and that's the Rams. They'll have serious conversations, but Gruden ain't leaving that great job he's got. Y2 Spy Banana, can't leave it, Dibs. Can't leave it.
Can leave it and will leave it for the Los Angeles Rams job. He wants an elite defense. They check that box. He wants an elite running back. They check that box. He wants himself a good young quarterback. They check that box. Gruden's in the age. It's time to try something new. And I'm sorry, Sean McDonough. You've had a nice career. You're doing a great job. But he's not the right fit for Monday Night Football. Blow that whole crew up and start over, Lo.
Bring back Dennis Miller.
Yeah, there we go. Dibs, it doesn't fit, so they must have quit.
Thank you.
Does that even apply here? We're going to go with it.
Ooh, no, he didn't.
We're giving away Raider tickets 8:45. That is 20 minutes from now. But I got a question for you. More specifically, I got a question for Scott Bear. When is Alden Smith coming back to the Raiders? We're going to find that out next. Joe Lowen Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Did Draymond Green win the Defensive Player of the Year last night? Mary Babers Green joins us coming up at 9:05. Now, back to Joe Lowen Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Raider tickets in 15 minutes. You know what? Today, it's going to be a trivia question on the text line, 95795. It will be a text line trivia question today, so we're going to change it up a bit. So get ready. Right around 8:45, we're going to be handing those away. Good to have you in. Loaded show today. Joe Lowen Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Awesome interview with the Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson at 7 o'clock today. Low just books this guy on a whim. Low's Rolodex never ceases to amaze me. Hollers at ED. 2 minutes later, we got the guy on the phone as he's on his way to the airport to head to Canton for a Hall of Fame ceremony or something he's doing there.
Yeah, something.
Whatever
he's going
it is,
to Hall of Fame, right.
Far more important than anything I'll be doing over the next few months. That being said, Dickerson came on and answered questions about everything that was going on with Jeff Fisher and this messy situation in LA where the team has asked him to stay away. One of the greatest Rams of all time has asked him to stay away from the team because they don't like what he's saying about them on air. It's wild stuff. We're going to revisit it in a bit. You can check it out on our website, 957thegame.com. Oh, yeah. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. Raiders insider CSN Bay Area Scotty Bear joining Joe Lowen Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Scott, good morning. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty good, and, you know, the Raiders keep on winning, man. It's just amazing. Every time that you've seen every way that they can possibly come back and win, they find a new and entertaining and, in this case, quite possibly memorable and legendary way to win with their their quarterback winning with nine fingers.
11 games this season, 8 of which have been decided by one score. This team is truly the new version of the Cardiac Kids and probably the most exciting watch in the National Football League on a regular basis. Let's start with the quarterback of the team, Derek Carr. How's the finger? How could this limit him moving forward?
I think he's going to be fine, and he should practice. He might be limited on Wednesday and Thursday, but Derek Carr and Jack Del Rio And even his brother David have gone on record and said that he's going to be able to go with this thing. And David brought up an interesting point on NFL Network yesterday, which is that the way he throws the football, his pinky can almost float there. It's not as heavily involved as it is with some other throwing motions, and that should help him out throughout the course of this week.
So when you say, of course, he's going to play, that's just who he is. This guy's tough. He's physical. He doesn't mind a little pain. But what happens now with underneath the quarterback, underneath the center? Are they going to be able to do some center quarterback exchange? So if they want to get in that two back, the true eye, and go ahead and be able to pound the ball and do different things, or that cut away from the true eye?
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting and maybe something that Derek is just going to have to deal with as they move forward, and they're going to have to adjust to that in practice. Because when everything happens in the middle of a game and Carolina has spent the entire week prepping for Bill Musgrave's unabridged dictionary size playbook, that's one thing. But if during the week Rex Ryan can say, all right, we can cut out everything except for shotgun formations or pistols or things like that, then I think that that does change the way that a team can defend. I definitely think that no matter what, the Raiders should say, yeah, we're going to take some stuff under center. You go ahead and prep for that, because they definitely don't want to limit Rex Ryan, who can be very imaginative and things like that. And it would obviously help if he knew that going in. It's just going to have to be, a pain tolerance thing to see whether they can do that. But you're right, especially as an old school type of rushing attack that this team likes to be, which is, running between the tackles. Times you're best off with a fullback back there. You're best off with, with your running back getting a full head of steam going. So I think that will just be about, how much he can handle and how much that would limit him if he did have to go under center.
How much was the Raiders' running struggles this last weekend attributed to Derek Carr not being under center in the second half, and how much attributed to them just not executing in the ground game?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both, because in the first half they weren't exactly lighting up the, you know, lighting up the ground game either. And it's been, you know, a couple weeks now that you know, they really want to get that thing going, and it hasn't gone as well as they'd hoped. I think part of it is who they're playing. I know there was no Luke Kuechly last week, but that Panthers defensive front is very good. Houston's defensive line is good. And the whole world watched that Denver Broncos game and the way the Raiders beat them, which is with basic old school football. And if you can't stop the way the Raiders like to run, then you have no chance whatsoever. So there's going to be an increased emphasis in, like, into slowing that down. But yeah, I do think it was a combination of both there, that they wanted to run better and they probably could have run better earlier in the game. It just wasn't in the cards there.
Scott Baer, Raiders insider, CSN Bay Area, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Let's start with Mario Edwards. Originally, this was, you know, 4 to 6 week thing. We thought we'd have him back by the end of September, and now here we are heading into December, and no word. How bad is this injury? Is Mario even working out with the team? Or is there a chance we don't see him at all this year?
Jack Del Rio was asked that specifically in his Monday press conference, and he said he still anticipates Mario Edwards coming back. Now, they have a bit of a luxury here in that they're 9-2, and they're finding ways to win, and they can wait till he's back to full health. But you start doing a little bit of math here, because every week that goes by that he isn't practicing with the team, you start to think, well, this guy's going to need some run-up leading into when he could play. So it kind of keeps pushing, gets pushed back farther and farther, but you think, all right, this team is the number 1/2 seed and on top of the AFC West, and really it's more important that he comes back and, you know, late December and January. But, you know, but still, you're exactly right in that this has taken a lot longer than the Raiders anticipated, whether there was a setback or not. Jack Del Rio has gone with a one-sentence answer when it comes to Mario Edwards. It's the same every week, is that he's waiting for a green light for him to be able to practice. But, yeah, this was originally anticipated to be a much shorter injury. I think most people thought he would be ready to go against Denver, and every week that goes by, it just keeps pushing it back and pushing it back, because again, this guy, I mean, whether he's working out on the side or not, they have a big performance center that the media isn't allowed into. I'm sure he's getting treatment and doing some cardiovascular things, but we haven't seen him work on the side, not a single time. And yeah, I just, the farther that it gets back in, you know, I just think it's going to be really hard for him to make a truly significant impact if he's only back for the last couple of games. And again, hasn't played a football game since August 15th or something like
wow.
that. I mean, this is a long time for this guy to be out.
Long layoff for Aldon Smith as well. And Raider fans still awaiting word from the league. Scott, have you gotten any indication on when a decision might be reached on Aldon Smith's reinstatement?
Yeah, there was a, I think Adam Schefter said that it looked like this week was the week, given when he applied for reinstatement. But these things are incredibly complicated. Now, the Raiders are, I would say, optimistic, maybe in a guarded sense, that they're going to get this guy back, and that Aldon Smith's people believe that they have a good application submitted to the NFL, and something that they believe should get him approved and has given him the right to work again. And I'm really hung up on that right to work thing. I really feel like if you follow all the guidelines, you do what you're doing, that you deserve to be able to go back to work and get paid at your particular craft. So in terms of Aldon Smith, and we were just talking about Mario Edwards, I think Aldon could come back and play 10 or 15 snaps pretty quickly. I think we saw him at the Warriors game. The guy's yoked. He could come in there and just kind of see quarterback, get quarterback type of thing. But yeah, so this week, you know, is kind of a real buzz period heading towards Friday. And hopefully this guy can know one way or the other, because again, I think it's unfair with the way this system is worked out, where Roger Goodell has all the power and he can decide if he doesn't like one little thing. And yeah, there is some time limits where, you know, he has to tell Aldon exactly what's going on, this mystery and all these other types of things. I just think it's unfair for the player, especially for one who has done the right things to come back and is trying to get back to work. And still there's this delay when he wants to play right now. And, you know, again, if he's done everything as he's supposed to do, then he should be allowed to.
You love him. We love him. He's a Raiders insider from CSN Bay Area. Scott Baer with Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Scotty. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Jen.
Let me tell you something. Tim Tebow hoodwinked out of $1 million. That plus Raiders tickets. When we come back, we got it all for you. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors guard Sean Livingston joins Joe, Low, and Dibs to break down the big win against the Hawks, coming up at 9:30. Now, back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so get this. Tim Tebow's got this book out. It's called Shaken. It's not new. It's been out for a little while. But recently, a little snippet from this book has made its way into the media, and for good reason. It is interesting as all heck. Essentially, what happened was Tebow signed with Bill Belichick and the Patriots beginning of 2013, right around June, I believe, was the date. And Tebow had a situation, and here's the excerpt to an extent as it's paraphrased, from Tebow. I remember when I had signed with the team in June, then I'd had an offer on the table to make a one-day appearance endorsing a product for $1 million paycheck. This is Tebow in his book. So when the offer for the one-day commercial came up, I was sure to discuss this opportunity with him, meaning Belichick. I want to know what you think, coach. I said, I respect you and I want to fit in. I want to be one of the guys. Should I do it? He thought for a moment, and Belichick looked at him, shook his head, said, Timmy, I would really appreciate if you didn't. Respecting Belichick and the team, wanting to fit in, Tebow turned the one-day, $1 million endorsement appearance fee down. Belichick ended up cutting him a little while after that.
Wow.
Wow.
How's that sit with you, Lo?
Belichick, shame on you. Shame on you. And this is a guy that, I called when I became a free agent in Baltimore and had a conversation because I respect him. It's wrong. You don't do that to a man. I've been in situations where I was defrauded out of some money, big money.
You're about to save $1 million.
Yeah, and I had to get on a plane. And I talked to Marty Schottenheimer. This is during training camp. Told him what's going on. I said, I'd wait, but I'd rather take care of this issue now. Would it be excused? And this is doing this. Lorenzo, go take care of it.
Is it during the season or during training camp?
During training camp. Same thing with
Hey, you're with San Diego. You didn't need to be there. They know what they get in Loneal.
But it's just a fact, though. This guy has a right to earn money. You know that he was a tweener. Here's a guy that, you know, that's not making a lot of money. He's not in his fifth year, so he's not getting $1 million guaranteed. Belichick, it's one day. You don't do that to a young man who at least came to you and said, hey, this is what I'm doing. Because some guys would just do it and go ahead and take the fine. Because here's the thing. Take the fine.
Make $10 million.
You know, you get your $20,000 fine for one day. Say, hey, I'm going. Just letting you know. If it's not, excuse, okay. And you were going to cut him anyway.
Belichick, that's the thing.
That's what's so wrong. You're going to cut him anyway, and he tried to do what's right.
Right. Tebow's just trying to do what's right and be a good teammate, and so he asked the head coach for permission, and Belichick basically says Seattle.
Shame on you.
He's focused on only Seattle.
More on that in about 25 minutes. I think there's a lot more to discuss there. Raider tickets. You want them? We got them. Here's how it's going to work. Text line 95795. First one to answer the following question. Who was the last Raiders starting quarterback to win a game before Derek Carr? Simple as that. Text line 95795. 95795. Who was the last Raiders starting quarterback to win a game that was not named Derek Carr? Can't wait to see this thing go nuclear. Tebow, hoodwinked. Hey, he could have told Belichick, put an egg in your Tom Brady acquired UGG and beat it. Beat it, Belichick. Yeah. I'm going to go make my $1 million. That's what I'm doing. If you're Tebow, you got to be smarter. You got to realize you're getting cut. You got to realize it's all over. But he's a team guy. That's why you got to like the Tim Tebows of the world. But $1 million, whew, I'd love to know what the product was.
Yeah.
Didn't line up with what the hoodie probably had in mind.
Right.
John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game reporter. He was at Oracle last night for the 105-100 victory. Warriors over Hawks, 12 in a row. Good morning, JD. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Good to be with you as always.
How was the atmosphere last night, considering the fact that for a team that has done it almost exclusively on the offensive end of the court this season, last night was about big defensive plays late in order to get a win over D-Ho and the Rockets. Excuse me, the Hawks.
Yeah, and really it was a deal where just an uneven game, a sloppy game really for the better part of the first half. You know, both teams turning the ball over. But I felt like it was more of a defensive game, really, on both ends. It wasn't just bad offense. It was more quality. The Hawks came into the game leading the NBA in defense, and they put out a good showing. But, yeah, if you wanted to know what made Draymond Green so important to the Warriors, it was on full display last night. You look at his line, and he scores 4 points. He shoots 2 of 9, but makes 3 or 4 of the best defensive plays you'll ever see at the most critical moments, and he's essentially putting together a defensive player of the year highlight film at this stage, and the Warriors were challenged. The Hawks put up a good effort. I don't think last night what was the type of game where the Warriors were kind of going through the motions and they weren't into it, and they let a team hang around. Atlanta kind of took it to them, so it was a good test, and the Warriors were able to pass in a different way than we're used to seeing them do it.
Everyone talking about Russell Westbrook and his triple-doubles. I'm more fixated on Draymond Green and his quadruple singles, JD. 4 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Between he and Kevin Durant, shot-blocking-wise, do they really need a, quote, rim protector?
I think they need a little more than they have currently, but both of those guys are stepping up to make it far less of an issue than we thought it would be. You know, even a couple of weeks ago, and Kevin Durant said after the ball game that he knew going into this season he was going to have to be more aggressive defensively, that part of him signing with the Warriors and understanding the players that weren't going to be around to help facilitate that he was going to have to ramp up his defensive game and use his length and much the way he did against the Warriors in the playoffs and be able to get back and block shots and be able to deflect passes that can lead to turnovers. And Draymond Green's done it, you know, year in and year out now for as long as he's been with the Warriors. I mean, he is – you don't think of him as a rim protector because of his size, but he absolutely is a rim protector when you look at the bigger players that he's able to defend and the fact that he's able to defend anybody. And Steve Kerr mentioned that after the ball game. I mean, he can defend from the point guard in Schroeder all the way up to a guy like Dwight Howard, who he's given fits throughout the course of his career. And he's done the same thing to other elite players like a Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
JD, me and Dibs come from an era, you know, we're in those 40s. It was a show that we used to watch, A-Team. And Hannibal would say, I love it when a plan comes together. A couple weeks back, guys said that, hey, this team will come together in 20, 25 games. Is this plan coming together sooner than people thought?
It is now. I think there was a certain belief that it was going to just be instantaneous, that it was going to come together immediately, that, you know, from night one against San Antonio, it was just going to be blowout city. And it wound up being blowout city going the other way that night. But it took some time for this team to gel and kind of figure out exactly who's going to get the shots where and take some time, I think, on the defensive end, you know, for it to gel maybe more than anything. I think that's where they're starting to come around. And they're not going to bring the defensive intensity at full throttle every night. Most teams don't in the NBA, especially teams as talented as the Warriors. But the one thing they've been able to do is they've been able to figure out when and how to flip the switch defensively. And I think last night, another big key was the fact that the death lineup, the Hamptons lineup with Durant,
the Hamptons lineup,
those guys able to close that game and be tested, because that's going to be the group that's going to be on the floor in playoff games when this team's trying to beat the Clippers or the Spurs and eventually probably the Cavaliers to try and win a championship.
JD, I used to watch the show Miami Vice. Does anyone on the team drive a Ferrari like in the show Miami Vice?
Not that
you don't actually have to answer that question.
Joe poking it low.
He's hating on me, JD. Get him off your boy, JD.
JD, do you think when you came on today you'd be asked about the A-Team and Hannibal?
I did not, but I used to watch a show called MacGyver.
He can make a canoe out of a pencil.
Steve Warrior Swiss Army Knife.
John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game reporter, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. How big a spark was Iguodala last night for this team? It was Draymond on the defensive end late. Obviously, the big three in Steph, Clay, and Durant put up huge numbers, but Iguodala was plus 18 in just under 30 minutes last night.
He's always that guy. He I think, has needed an adjustment period, maybe more than he's been an underrated player in terms of needing an adjustment period. I'll put it that way. Everybody's talked about Durant and to a lesser extent Pachulia, but you know, Iguodala's deal is a little bit different now because he would always come in the game, and for the most part, it would be deemed an upgrade over Harrison Barnes. So Iguodala was the glue guy. Iguodala was the guy that finished games, you know, with the other unit in the Def lineup. So I think at times maybe he still tried to figure out just exactly when he needs to try and score more, or when he needs to try and be the guy that's just a defensive stopper or a guy that moves the ball. And I think he's coming around and starting to figure out his role. And it's really very similar to what it's been, but I think at times he's looked a little bit out of sorts as far as, you know, when does he want to shoot it, you know, versus pass it and the like. So anytime they get shots out of Iguodala at a 5-for-9 and he hits a couple of threes, I think the Warriors are almost unbeatable because he tends to always do the other things on the floor that help a team win. And it becomes that bonus that the opposition just can't overcome when he's knocking down a few. And last night he did.
He's the man with the plan, John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game, joining Joe and Lowe here on 95.7 The Game. JD, thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good, guys.
Here's a take your pick poll question for you. A-team versus Miami Vice. What do you got?
Woo!
Where would you rather be? In the nice suit driving around South Beach, or would you rather be helping good, hardworking blue-collar folks solve problems that can't be solved by traditional means like law enforcement?
A-team, man. That A-team, you know, Joe, that show was pretty hot, bro.
Oh,
Miami
yeah.
Vice was good, but it's
you got A-team. It. You got it all wrong, Lo Neal. You got Crockett and or Tubbs. You got nice suits, sweet car, all the cocaine you could possibly want to snort.
but see, that's why me and Joe going A-team, because, you know what, we had it easy. That was easy for us anyway. So you, on the other hand, maybe you had problems in that division.
Hardly any problems.
Ooh, Joe, you liked that, didn't you? Boom!
As a man who's got more coconut suits than anybody.
He's dabbing in here, folks.
I can't
He's
believe it. Wow, jeez.
T-shot?
T-shot? Dab on them, folks.
George from Livermore, congratulations. You've won the tickets to the Raider game. The answer to the question, last Raider starting quarterback to win a game before D.C., Matt McGloin, Penn State, baby. Best team in the Big Ten, possibly the greatest team in the country. We'll find out more about that come the playoff in January. But alongside B.A. Baracus and Dan Dibley.
Nice of you to throw me in this time.
Yeah, I'm Joe Fortenball. We are going to be back in 1 minute. Mary Babers Green. And Eric Dickerson set to join us. Don't go anywhere. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.